two-thirds of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender young people in Northern Ireland do not feel welcomed or valued in their post-primary school. Almost half had also experienced bullying as a result of their sexual orientation or gender identity. These are the two of the key findings of research into experiences of LGBT pupils commissioned by the Department of Education. John O'Doherty is from the Rainbow Project. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning. So sum up for us what you've read in this report and how critical this is.
Well, a few of the top line statistics for us, Stephen, are some that you've already covered. Around half of LGBT young people experiencing bullying. Of those, about 40% reporting those to the school, and 54% of those reporting were unsupported or felt very unsupported by the school. Additionally to that, what we're seeing is around a third of LGBT young people being made feel uncomfortable by teachers within schools, and almost two-thirds of our young people saying that they felt that their school had a negative impact on their mental health and well-being. Two-thirds not welcome or valued within their school, which you've already covered. But two of, I suppose, the most important ones that we're seeing is around half of respondents saying that school was not a safe place for them to be, and 6% reporting that they had to move school because of issues related to their sex orientation or gender identity.
You try, John, to meet Peter Weir about this. Just give us the context for that, the DP's Peter Weir.
So we campaigned heavily, Stephen, for the publication of this research. We campaigned heavily for this research to be carried out because the majority of the research carried out before this by the department did not monitor for sexual orientation or gender identity. So while we knew broadly the experiences of young people in school, we couldn't extrapolate from that the specific experiences of LGBT young people. So we asked John O'Dowd to commission this research, which he did in 2015. It was submitted to the department in April of 2016, 17 months ago. And throughout that time, we have been lobbying the department and
The finished report was submitted?
The finished report, if you look at the report, it states very clearly on every single page that the final report was completed in April 2016 by PSEC, the consultants who carried out the research.
So if the report was submitted in April 2016, and this is a report that contains concerning information about young people not feeling comfortable in a school environment, why is the information only coming out, what is it, nearly a year and a half later?
A year and a half later, absolutely. And it's not only that the
information what's the delay?
Well, what's the delay and what's the reason for publishing it now, Stephen? Why all of a sudden, after 17 months? Only last week we were engaging with the department and we were told that this research would not be published unless it was signed off by a minister. And then we found out 15 minutes before it was published yesterday that they had taken the decision to publish it. And we firmly believe it was heavily down to pressure from the BBC that this actually led to this being published.
So you were trying to meet Peter Weir about this report, is that right?
We tried to meet with Peter Weir and we wrote to him twice asking could we meet to talk about the findings. Obviously at this point it hadn't been published, and also what the department's response was going to be.
And this obviously was while Peter Weir was the education minister.
The last response we received was in December 2016 while he was still in post as minister, yes.
And what did he say to you?
He said that he did not have the time to meet with us to discuss this research twice.
Twice in the same month or what?
Twice in a matter of at least 3 months, he wrote to us to say, well, we wrote to him seeking a meeting, and he replied saying he would not be available to meet with us, that he did not have the time.
So two-thirds of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender young people in Northern Ireland who were surveyed do not feel welcome or valued in their post-primary school. Half of them experience bullying. You represent a gay rights group, and the education minister at the time said, don't have the time to meet.
Absolutely. Didn't want to talk about it. Didn't even. Often what we find, Stephen, with ministers, and of course they are busy, when ministers don't have the time to meet about important issues, they will advise that you meet with officials. They will encourage and direct officials to meet with you to talk about core issues. That was not an option that was made available to us by Peter Weir. And let's not forget, when we're talking about LGBT young people in schools, this is a place where they are legally required to be. This isn't somewhere where people can choose to be. LGBT young people, as well as all of our young people, are required to be in schools. And if they're required to be in schools, then that school should be a safe place for them. And what we're seeing is almost half of our young people telling us that schools do not feel like safe places for them. And that's something that needs to be responded to.
So that you all know this morning, we've been in touch with the DUP since last night about this. They haven't even responded, haven't even got back to us here at this programme. So we're going to get into the detail of this report in just the next few seconds. But there is a question. And obviously the political context in Northern Ireland is important too. One of the stumbling blocks to restoring a government in Northern Ireland is Sinn Féin's demand for what they describe as equality. And some of that is based around gay marriage, and some of that is based around gay rights and the protection of the LGBT community in Northern Ireland. And here you have a situation this morning where not only do we find out that the person who was the education minister at the time, Peter Weir, didn't have the time to engage with John O'Doherty's group, which protects gay people and gives a voice for them. But you have the Democratic Unionist Party going silent on the issue now this morning, and there is an open public question for them. Why did their education minister not have the time? And how do they feel about some of the statistics within this, that two-thirds of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender young people in Northern Ireland don't even feel welcomed or valued in the post-primary school environment? 0330 80 55 55 this morning. Go ahead, John.
Can I add to that? You know, Arlene Foster earlier this year talked very openly about her experiences of particularly online bullying from members of the LGBT community and other supporters. And she had every right to do so, and she should do so, and we should talk more about the experiences of bullying throughout our society. But I only hope today and in the coming weeks that she is as willing to talk about the experiences of marginalised, vulnerable young people within our schools as she was willing to talk about her own experience.
Yeah. Peter Weir, I've got two letters in front of me this morning to you. One dated, I think it's either the 3rd, I think it's the 8th of June actually, 2016, where Peter Weir writes to you and he says, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, there are many demands on my time. I regret that at present I'm unable to meet with you. I understand DE, that's the Department of Education, has commissioned research from public and corporate economic consultants on post-primary school experiences of 16 to 21-year-old people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual and or transgender, and I would like to fully consider the final report before any meeting on LGBT issues. So he's trying to fully consider the report on the 8th of June 2016, then some 6 months later, on the 20-something of December 2016, Peter Weir says to you, I'm sure you will appreciate there are many demands on my time and I regret at present I'm unable to meet with you. Mr. Weir, we're unable to get you this morning, but to Peter Weir directly, so what did you do when you were Education Minister, not for John O'Doherty, not for the Rainbow Project, but for the young people in our society who were saying they were being bullied in school, that they felt uncomfortable in school, that they were experiencing bullying because of their sexual orientation in school, post-primary? What did you do, Mr. Weir, when you were Education Minister, if you did not have the opportunity to meet with the Rainbow Project because, quote, there are many demands on my time? The Children's Commissioner, Kula Yasuma, with us this morning. Well, this doesn't make for good reading, Kula, that what children are experiencing in post-primary schools.
No, it doesn't, Stephen. And I wish I could tell you that any of this surprised me, because it doesn't, because it resonates exactly with what children, young people themselves have been telling us whenever we're out talking to them. And this is not just LGBT young people. This is other young people too who are saying we see what's happening to our LGBT friends and it's very, very difficult. And Stephen, I wish I'm going to sound like a broken record again say that this is as a result of the fact. Well, not only, but one of the reasons for this is our relationship and sexuality education curriculum in Northern Ireland is not mandatory. The department put out in their press response to this very, very worrying report that just adds to all the other reports we've already had about this, and John's already talked about that, that they require all grant-aided schools to develop their own RSE policy. What they didn't say was it was based on the ethos of their school, which is subject to consultation with parents and pupils. At We Line is yet another example of the Department of Education's line on certain policies where they give schools far more scope than they should. And they wouldn't do that with the maths curriculum. They wouldn't do that with the history curriculum. Why are they doing that with a relationship and sexuality education curriculum? And as a result, LGBT young people suffer the bullying that you've heard, but also mental ill health. That's not to do with the fact that they're LGBT. That's entirely to do with the fact that they're treated so much worse than other children in our community.
And further to Cooler's point, Stephen...
Can I just... Sorry, John. Come back to that in a second. But there's another key line in this report,
yeah,
which is stark and which is shocking. Almost 4 in 10 pupils said they had been made to feel uncomfortable by pupils. So
yeah.
This is 4 in 10 LGBT
yeah.
pupils,
yeah.
gay or transgender pupils, made to feel uncomfortable by teachers.
And that is the point. We would never countenance this in any other circumstance. I mean, this idea of the ethos of the school, and I do need to make something. I respect and admire people of faith. I respect and admire anyone who has a strong value system. But make no mistake, if you treat somebody differently on the base of their sexuality or how they identify themselves, that is not in accordance with any sort of value system that I understand or that our government has signed up to when it signed up to Human Rights Act and particularly the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. Teachers and young people should not be treating other people differently based on that they're different from them. Children and young people are telling us that they're treated differently, and it's often not the obvious things. It's the subtle things when they talk about what we believe or the messages or the message that we're getting out of the debate for same-sex marriage. Those messages are often being endorsed subtly in schools, and that's what children and young people are internalising.
Sinn Féin have been in touch with us this morning saying there is now an onus on the Department of Education and any subsequent minister to act on the findings of this report. Okay, Hilary Donnan, good morning to you, Hilary.
Morning.
Morning, I can hear you, Hilary. You're a teacher, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Do you recognise any of the findings of this report where you teach?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised at all at the findings of the report. It's something that we're well aware of, and it's a reason why within our school that we actually set up a group in order to support the LGBT staff and students, because let's remember there's staff there as well. I'm certainly happy to tell you more about that.
What are you seeing on the ground, Hilary?
Well, it's not so much that's on the ground. You know, within our school, what we've done is we've set up a group, but let's be clear, it's an extracurricular group. It's done outside school hours. And we have a group of kids and we have a group of staff who meet each week. It's a group called Gay, Straight, Whatever. It's fully inclusive. And the idea is that it's open to anybody in the school who would like to make our school a better place. That's simply it. And we were set up, our core aims were to provide a safe space for LGBT staff and students and to work towards making our school a homophobia, transphobia free zone. And basically it's a work in progress. It's something that continually evolves and we do what's required on the ground as and when we see the need.
Yeah. Within this report, when they talk about bullying, they say the main forms of bullying that the pupils say they experienced included name-calling, being isolated by other pupils, or being hit or kicked. So being hit, Kula, and kicked in a school because
that's
of someone's that's sexuality.
Appalling. Yeah, that's appalling, because what I want to get at, I would actually like to move on from what John said. John pointed out quite clearly that young people are required to be in school. It's a legal requirement. School can be difficult enough. People remember their school days. And the most important thing is that we have a duty of care to those children in our, you know, we have a duty of care to staff, to students, to everybody within the school community. The idea that someone is being physically assaulted in a school is horrific.
So Kula Yusuma, as a Children's Commissioner, in the context of, you know, the Minister for Education, Peter Weir, when he was the Minister, was too busy on two separate occasions, 6 months apart, to engage with the Rainbow Project on this report, on this issue. Mm-hmm. Over to you now, Kula. You're the Children's Commissioner. It's your job to protect children. So knowing this, what are you going to do about it?
Stephen, please make no mistake. And when I did meet both Peter Weir, when he was Minister, and John O'Dowd, I raised this issue with them. Please don't think I didn't. Let's speak. If a child is assaulted in school, then that is clearly needs to be dealt with. We now have a bullying legislation in our schools. But until we can have political will to ensure that our Department of Education issues stronger mandatory guidance on these issues, whether it's uniform or whether it's RSC, then we're not going to get a move forward. And don't think for one minute that I have not been raising it. And I want young people ring me all the time and talk about this with us. You know, it's sometimes it's those big things you're talking about, but sometimes it's the little things, even like formals, where we're talking 17, 18 year olds want to go to school formals with their same-sex partners, and some schools are not allowing them, whilst other schools, as Hilary has said, have wonderful inclusive policies and practices where all children are together and are celebrated for who they are and what they are.
Well, I happen to know, because I was, for another reason, visiting the school.
Yeah.
But I happen to know, for example, that at the Royal Belfast Academical Institution, my old school, Inst in the centre of town, that the pupils got together and they approached the management of the school, and they said, the pupils said to the management of the school at Belfast Inst, look, do you know what? We want our formal to be open and accessible to LGBT people, and that indeed same-sex partners are going to the school formal at Belfast Inst. But Kula, you and I also know, and others also know, that there are some schools refusing to allow that to happen. Have they got the legal right to stop same-sex partners going to a school formal?
Now, bearing in mind that I'm not a lawyer and I have lawyers to do this, but my understanding is, whilst the department allow them to do things in accordance with so-called ethos, which isn't, like I said, isn't any ethos or value base that I recognise, then yes, they have. And we need the department and the executive, when we get one back, to be very clear that discriminating against children and treating them differently against children, young people who are LGB and T is wrong, and that they will be, the schools will be sanctioned for doing that. But also, I don't want to, there will be a load of schools.
Sorry, the schools will be sanctioned.
Schools should be sanctioned when they discriminate against LGBT young people. But at the moment,
in the context of stopping kids going together to school formals, for example.
But at the moment, they're allowed to do that. But let me.
Do you think they shouldn't be allowed to do that?
I don't think they should be allowed to tell a young person that they're not allowed to go to a formal with their partner, whether they're if they're in a same-sex relationship. I think that's wrong. I think that's discriminatory. Let me be clear. I and my youth panel were proud to be at Pride a few weeks ago, and it was the most joyous experience. And that was because we were awash with young people wanting to be there. Straight and LGBT.
Well, it was the most joyous experience for you and the people who participated in it.
Yeah.
There are others against gay pride who say that in for whatever reason, be it their faith or whatever values that they decide to live by, they do not think that same-sex couples should be acceptable at school formals, or indeed that homosexuality should...
Stephen, let me be clear. They're wrong. Let me be clear. they are wrong.
Well, they have a different opinion than you.
Well, yeah, and do you know, opinions and people's beliefs, I can't do anything about that. And my interest is their behaviours and what they do about how they make our children and young people feel. And anyone who believes that children and young people who are LGBT deserve less than or different than any other child are wrong. I can't be more emphatic than that. That goes against everything that we have in a society about a fair and equal Northern Ireland. That's not what this country is about.
Some of the other things in this report, John O'Doherty, we've already touched on it. The teachers themselves, gay teachers themselves, LGBT teachers themselves, feel that they are alienated too in the school context. So is it any surprise that kids are being bullied, that kids who are gay don't feel comfortable in a school environment, if the adults who are gay also don't feel comfortable?
Absolutely, Stephen. This is something that we've experienced quite a lot of. We've spoken to a lot of teachers who've been very uncomfortable in their schools. They're trying to see LGBT issues being raised within the classroom and within the broader school environment, but are afraid of bringing that up to senior teachers because of the responses that they may get and because of the level of faith intervention involved in our schools. But luckily, we have some great schools and we have some great teachers. Hillary, who's on the line there, is doing amazing work up in Hazelwood. There's work in Shinna. There's work in St. Joseph's Cross McGlen. There's so many schools where there is an individual teacher or a group of students who've decided, we're going to do something about this. Outside of any policy decisions by the department, have decided, we're going to do something about it. And they really are the heroes within schools who are changing the lives for LGBT people. And I thank them for everything that they do.
I know that there are quite a few young people who listen to this programme, be it on our podcast or listen again or whatever means that they do. So I know that through the feedback we get on this programme. Look, if your school does allow same-sex people to go to your school formal, let us know. But equally, if your school is refusing to let you or any of your friends go to a school formal with same-sex couples, then we want to hear from you. And you can email us, nolan@bbc.co.uk. Kula, you're the Children's Commissioner. You're saying that is discriminatory.
Yep.
So are you going to write to schools in Northern Ireland and tell them that? Because what we're going to do is we're going to start digging into what schools are banning same-sex kids going to a school formal, and we're going to ask them to explain their policy on that.
Schools are sick, sore and tired of listening to me. I think I'll make my position clear to schools and make sure that they're aware of it. But I think the piece of work that needs to be done is to make sure that the guidance from the department is clear and strong, and the RSC and an all-inclusive relationship with sexuality education curriculum, culture and ethos in each and every school in Northern Ireland, that we learn. And John is absolutely right. There's some fantastic practices going on.
Is there clear advice from the department?
The advice is not. There is good guidance. The curriculum itself, as published by SEER, is good. Is good, maybe not good enough, but it's good. But the guidance from the department has this get out clause that says the RSC policy has to be in accordance with the ethos of the school.
But what does that mean? The ethos of a school.
That means exactly what you said, that people that schools who have a particular religious belief, for which I applaud them, for which I would never condemn or condone, say that it's not in accordance with our teachings, with our religious teachings, to promote same-sex relationships or support children who are transgender or identify as other, and therefore that they're not proactive in supporting and celebrating children. And that means that things slip through.